This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
You refer to the prophecy of the one who will bring balance to the Force. You believe it's this boy?
He can see things before they happen.
He can help you.
The Force is unusually strong with him.
He was meant to help you.
Anakin! Tell him to take off!
Will I ever see you again?
What does your heart tell you?
Are you sure about this? Trusting our fate to a boy we hardly know?
Anakin Skywalker, meet Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I sense much fear in you.
The boy is dangerous. They all sense it. Why can't you?
Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Another episode. Another episode where we watch Star Wars. It's me, Nicole Byer.
And Lauren Lapkus. This is Newcomers. We've never seen Star Wars.
Nope. And we're doing it.
That's not true anymore.
No, I mean, we've seen it.
We've seen four of the movies at this point, and we have a lot to say about them.
Yes.
We watched The Phantom Menace.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, yesterday I was in the car with a couple friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about how we're doing this podcast and how, like, we've, you know, had some ups and downs with, like, liking mm-hmm. things and not liking things. And then I was talking about this movie and I was like, look, these are all my problems with it because it's not as good as the first one. And the first one I didn't even like. And like, this is like, and then it was like, I talked for like 3 minutes straight without stopping. And then no one responded. And then everyone was like, what the fuck has happened to you? So I'm now a Star Wars
head. I also had the same interaction with my roommate where we were arguing about Star Wars. And I don't really know about this universe.
Right.
He knows way more than me. But I was like, John, no, this is like, and well, this morning I was like, Anakin's Jesus, he ain't got a daddy.
Wow.
And John was like, all right, leave the house. Go about your day. And I was like, oh, you don't like that revelation? You don't want to really like riff on it a little bit? He's like, no.
Oh my God, we're obsessed. This is a shocking turn, honestly.
Yeah, it really is. So we watched The Phantom Menace and we have a guest. Oh, boy.
Oh, we have Nick Weiger. He's the host of Doughboys and How Did This Get Played? Two fantastic podcasts. And you are a rare Phantom Menace super fan.
I am. Look, The Phantom Menace is not a good movie, but it is one of my favorite movies.
Wow. Like,
I know that it is objectively bad. It has a lot of issues, mm-hmm. but I have a huge smile on my face when I'm watching it.
Did you watch it in theaters on May 19th, 1999?
Oh, I was in line on May 18th, 1999.
Were you really? Leftover? Yeah. So did everyone do that at the time? Because it was, this is, what, 10 years between the movies or more?
It was more than, it was closer to 20 years. Because I think Return of the Jedi came out in 1983, and people just thought that was going to be the final Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And then when George Lucas announced that Phantom Menace was coming out, the hype was unreal. I went to see multiple bad movies just to see the new Star Wars trailer, because that was before things were like always were online, you know? So I saw...
Dedication to try to see a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I saw the Siege, Bruce Willis terrorism movie, like, but pre-9/11. So mm-hmm. it like had a very different idea of global terrorism. And so I watched all of that. And then they did an insidious thing where they showed the trailer at the end of the movie because they knew people were coming just for the trailer.
Rude. And did you know they were going to, or were you like, oh, I guess they're not showing it? And then you just stuck around and then they started playing it?
No, we knew. Like, everyone knew going in that was the deal. And then I also saw Wing Commander, which is the worst movie I've ever seen in a theater. And that was just to see an updated version
of
the episode one trailer.
I've never heard of that. Wing Commander.
No. Oh, it's an adaptation of a video game.
Oh.
And it's really poorly made. It's like if they tried to make Star Wars but didn't have a script or a budget. So it's like it's so cheap looking.
Oh wow.
And it sucks.
Well, the budget for this was $115 million.
Wowie zowie.
That's crazy.
Okay, yeah, it was 16 years after the previous movie. So I guess people must have been freaking out.
We're losing our minds. Do you remember the hype that existed?
I do. I remember this one coming out because mm-hmm. I remember it being a big deal, and I remember everyone being upset about Jar Jar Binks.
Yes.
That I remember. Gotta say, I like Jar Jar.
Look, I couldn't believe Jar Jar. He was so annoying and a literal cartoon.
Yep. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was so dumb, I couldn't believe it. But I have to say, like, one of my big problems with this movie and what I was ranting about yesterday
mm-hmm.
is that it doesn't feel like they care that this is supposed to come before episode 4. Like, there are jokes that are so current. There
sure.
are, like, mm-hmm. ridiculous cartoon images that are just, I mean, not even trying to look real. Yoda, I was pissed about how Yoda looked.
I didn't like how Yoda looked at all.
Oh, my God.
That
I was
really
so
bummed
mad
me out
about Yoda. I was like, we have grown to love this
yes.
figure. If that cartoon died right now, I'd feel nothing.
Yeah, you'd be like, whatever.
The puppet died. I was like, no. Mm-hmm.
So I believe that he was still puppeted in episode 1 and became CG only in episode 2 and beyond.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong.
That was weird.
He looked like a cartoon to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to find
It is a different, like, they de-aged him a little bit, whatever it is, and which is weird because he's been alive for hundreds of years. So you would think that the 20-year difference wouldn't make a mm-hmm. huge affect his appearance hugely, but the hype for this movie was insane, and then the palpable disappointment that followed for a lot of fans was also, it was a real roller coaster ride because I saw it opening day 3 times in a row, and then and I loved it at first,
mm-hmm.
and then I saw it again a week later.
3 in a row?
Yeah, 3 times in a row, and then I saw it again a week later.
So this is your fourth viewing?
My fourth viewing, and that was the point where it started to lose me.
Oh.
And I was kind of in the wilderness on episode 1 for a while. Didn't like episode 2, didn't even see episode 3 at the time, and then some more time passed, and I returned to it with an open mind, and I was like, you know what, these movies are great. And I love them again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but the it's not just Jar Jar was the huge thing, but also the Immaculate Conception that you mentioned, and I imagine we'll talk about this in sequence. And then the midichlorians, the concept of midichlorians, those three elements kind of the first one was just people were just annoyed by them and thought he was unfunny, but the other two were this undercuts the coolness of the Force.
Wait,
this
is the midichlorians?
I'm looking at my
okay,
sheet.
Okay, I'm sorry. Midichlorians is the.
I'm like.
Midichlorians is the point where, so he talks about how there's no father for Anakin Skywalker.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then so they test his blood. I don't remember that sequence.
Yes.
Sends it up to Obi-Wan. His mm-hmm. midichlorians level is off the charts. It's like 20,000 above mm-hmm. even Yoda's. And then he has a scene where he explains what midichlorians are to Anakin. And it is basically like the Force is like this cool mystical energy that
mm-hmm,
exists.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes like, well, there's these little there's little bugs inside your cells. Mm. And that's why you have the Force. And it's just like, well, that's less fun.
Yeah.
It's cooler to leave it unanswered.
I agree.
Yeah.
About Yoda really quickly, you were right. So the guy who was the puppeteer was pretty upset with this, I think. They built a puppet for episode one, but made the mistake of trying to update Yoda. They re-sculptured him and made him out of a different material, which was heavier. Then, because he was transparent instead of opaque, it meant light didn't hit him the same way, so his color wasn't the same. So maybe that's why it looked like a cartoon.
Because it did look just very different.
Yeah.
There wasn't as much depth to his face, and you couldn't really see his expressions as much, which bummed me out.
Yeah, I agree. I actually really care about the Force now.
Right.
I think it's a powerful tool that I could imagine someone holding on to in a dark time in their life.
Right.
So yeah, that's interesting. I feel like I have a new brain. I don't know what's going on with me. It's very weird. Okay, so
the opening homework that you got to do to read, was a little clunky. It was a lot. So there's a trade war.
Yes.
And then Galactic Senates, and that was a lot for me.
I agree. The opening, I was bored from the scroll, whatever you call it.
But then we meet Qui. I don't know. Okay, how do we say his name?
Let's talk about, which one?
Qui-Gon Jinn?
Qui-Gon Jinn. This is Liam Neeson's character. Yes.
I didn't know Liam Neeson was in the movie.
I thought they looked hilarious in this movie.
He's the protagonist of this movie, which you maybe forget if some time passes between viewings. But it's all about him. And he dies. Yeah.
I cared about him, and then they kill him.
So Star Wars
will just get rid of any old person.
Yeah, I think maybe that if there's a flaw about this movie, and I think this kind of speaks to what you were saying earlier, Lapkus, about like it exists as if the previous movies exist instead of being like this is what happened before. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really live in it chronologically as it should. It has a lot of winky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, just like, this movie doesn't need to exist. There's nothing that's being told here. That, like, what happens? They go to a planet. They find a small boy. He wins a race. They go back to their planet. Like, they go back to their home planet. That's pretty much it.
The race is insane, yes. By the way. I mean, I think you liked it, right?
I liked it, but George Lucas has a thing about real time. At one point, they said, Anakin has two more laps, and then we see him do two more laps.
Yeah. I like it. I love the pod race sequence. Is one of my favorite parts of this movie.
I hated the announcers.
Yeah, they were real corny.
What I kept picturing was like, imagine if they had taken the time to create practical sets in the same way they and costumes and all the things with no CGI that you have in the first movie.
Yeah.
But updated to the abilities of 1999 or whatever. That would be the coolest.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yes.
And then it's like, oh, this happened right before that one. I would really love that. I think getting too swept up in the technological advances is like a real misstep.
Well, that's why it took so long to get made, because he was waiting and he was like, now the special effects they've arrived to where I deem it okay to be in my movie, which I think is
that's
insane
hilarious logic. I have to say, Roger Ebert also loved this one. Biggest George Lucas fan. An astonishing achievement in imaginative filmmaking. Lucas tells a good story. I mean, wow.
I remember his review, I loved Roger Ebert, I remember that was like a thing that when I liked the movie, like reaffirmed me. I was like, yes, I'm right. See, Roger Ebert likes it. But one thing he talked about that sticks with me, and I think sticks with you on future viewings, if you ever rewatch this thing for whatever reason. You're shaking your head. Okay, you're not going to rewatch it.
There's no way.
There's no. Oh no, the movies are too long.
No, yeah. They're so long.
Each
I was watching
it
all day.
Hours. Yeah, it's long.
I mean, wow.
Right. But he does talk about how like every frame is packed with something interesting.
Yes.
And so you see, like there's just shots where it's just like, oh, here are the tall flags walk across the pod racing platform, and you just sort of see like. There's just little droids running around. Mm-hmm. There's a little weird alien over here. There's a spaceship flying by. Just every frame is packed with some little detail.
That's true. I liked when Jar Jar went underwater.
I also liked when Jar. I liked a lot of Jar Jar. I thought he was great.
Jar Jar was pretty funny.
Did not like this movie. The New Yorker. The Phantom Menace is at once childishly unknowing and rotten with cynicism. I would call it the disappointment of the decade, except that, along with many other people, I had a sneaking fear that it would turn out this way. What is this? Crap. Say it out loud. Crap. And will it make the magic $1 billion? You bet.
Wow.
I remember standing in line waiting for Phantom Menace, and another guy like near me in line had gotten a newspaper that had a review of it. It mm-hmm. might have been the New York Times. It might have been USA Today. It doesn't matter. But it was a negative review, or like a mildly negative review, mm-hmm. like a 2-star review. And the guy was just like, it's bullshit. Like he was like already doubting that this Star Wars could possibly be bad.
I love it.
So you mentioned Jar Jar Binks. Do mm-hmm. you know the saga of Ahmed Best, the actor who played him?
No.
So he basically, and we're seeing.
I know
seeing,
he was in Stomp.
He was in Stomp, wow. Yeah. He's like.
Still running in New York, sure by the way, which I'm like amazed by.
He's got a ton of, you know, he's had an esteemed career, but I think he's been in the kind of thing where like the Jar Jar Binks, the specter of that character, because it was so hated, haunts him in the same way as the, I'm forgetting the actor's name, but the actor who played Rose Tico in the most recent movie, she's had the same sort of thing where, like, you know, people are just treating her like shit because they don't mm-hmm. like the character. Oh, same so thing happened mean. With Ahmed Best and Jake Lloyd as well, the little boy who plays Anakin.
He has a very
he had a dark sort of
journey.
History. But,
well, it says he retired from acting because of peer bullying he received after playing Anakin, along with the critical panning of his role.
Yeah.
He did do the voice in the Star Wars video games, but that's that's devastating.
Isn't that awful?
He had got a role of a lifetime in a Star Wars movie as a child, having no fucking clue what is going on, basically.
Right.
And does his best, and then he has to retire because people don't like it. He's like six.
It's really sad. He's very young. I don't think he's great in the movie, but I don't think that's on him. He's not the person who made the decision to put himself in the movie.
I thought he was great.
He's fine. He's a little kid.
Yeah, he's
Look, do I wish it was Haley Joel Osment? Yeah.
Yeah, I think if there's an issue with Jake Lloyd's performance, it's that we don't see the darkness within him. He just seems like a
whimsical child.
Wholesome kid. And
he's
just
so wholesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's adorable.
He looks like he's on Leave It to Beaver. He's adorable.
And I like his haircut. I liked him.
It was hard for me to keep remembering that he was Darth Vader.
Correct.
I kept having to rewrite that in my head because I was like, I thought it was Luke. Like, I don't know. It was confusing.
And I feel like they wrote lines to be like, remember, he's going to be bad.
Right.
Because he was like, I miss my mommy. And they're like, well, feelings, that could make you turn to the dark side. And I was like, what? Okay.
Can we talk about Natalie Portman?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
The Queen Amidala, right?
Yes.
Her voice is altered in the movie. Why?
Oh. That's what it was. I was like, these are some deadpan line reads.
Oh, my God. I know.
Just dead.
I think they changed it. Like, it's deeper.
So what I remember reading at the time is that they used, like, Lucas was so obsessed with what he could do with digital editing and VFX that he was taking line reads from different takes and then altering the lip sync on ones that looked better visually. And so, like, he was, like, a lot of it, I think, was just to try to make to Frankenstein a bunch of elements together. And a lot of it feels unnatural. I will say that one thing that disappointed me about the marketing of this movie is they just told you Natalie Portman is Queen Amidala, but the way the story is structured, it's like you don't realize that it's meant to be that it's a misdirect where you think she's Padme, the assistant, and then she reveals that I'm actually the queen, this is my decoy. But you just knew that going, and you knew this huge spoiler from minute one.
I know, and it did bother me as a viewer for the first time that, like, I just knew that she was, so I was like, why is she not in the makeup? Like, I kept getting confused about why
she was. I was also confused, and then I was like, wait, so she got a whole bunch of friends who follow her around who have the same face as her?
Yeah, I did not. It was really hard to follow because I knew that was her.
Yeah.
But also, it looks like her.
Yes.
Like, when she's in the makeup.
It's Keira Knightley is the main decoy.
Right.
Whoa.
But she's, when you see her talking in the beginning, it's Natalie Portman, right?
Yeah, she has the makeup on sometimes, and other times it's Keira Knightley, or I think.
Oh, so sometimes you see Keira Knightley before the ending.
That's correct, yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, they look a lot alike.
Yeah, they're the same person.
Yeah. That's really weird.
Yeah. The way, how do we say his name?
Qui-Gon Jinn, which character? Yes,
Qui-Gon Jinn. That's, what a hard name.
It's a difficult name. Do you guys know, like, I'm sorry this is off topic, but every time I see Liam Neeson in a movie, I just think about his rumored huge dick.
Oh, I think trolled the streets looking to beat up a black man.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's a different side of it.
What a psycho.
That was so wild. I was like, no need for you to ever say that out loud.
Why did he tell that story? It was like years later, right?
Yeah, I was like, you take that to your grave.
Yes.
You don't say that out
You're
loud.
You're a psychopath and racist.
I hope he was in his Qui-Gon Jinn costume.
Ewan McGregor's ponytail was so
it
dumb.
Looked like he went to Six Flags and got one of those wraps.
He got a hair wrap.
It was truly
it was
very
so
wild.
Weird.
Also, when Qui-Gon Jinn dies, he doesn't really react. He's just like, ah, nuts. I guess I gotta finish this fight. Then he finishes the fight, and then he's like, oh, boo-hoo, I guess I cry now.
There's a lot in these movies, a lot of moments where people die and no one wants to, like, really deal.
I think George Lucas is a weird man who doesn't quite understand human emotion, and which I can relate to. Like, I get it. But, you know, maybe that becomes a deficiency in him directing actors. And if you look at, like, the previous trilogy, which everyone is like, this is why we love Star Wars, these three movies, what you just watched, 4, 5, and 6, Lucas only directed the first one, and the second two, I feel like they just get better performances out of the actors.
I agree. We noticed that, too.
Yeah.
I feel like something that's kind of interesting here is, so Lucas directed this one, but the role of director was offered to Steven Spielberg, Ron Howard, and Robert Zemeckis. All three turned down the position as the film was Lucas's baby.
Yeah, they basically told him, like, you should direct this.
Really?
Yeah. At least that's what he says.
Okay. So who is in charge of asking someone to direct it if it's his thing? Do you know what I mean? Like the studio. They're not initially going to George Lucas because he didn't do as well as other people.
Probably. So they were like, let's go to a bigger name. You know, Spielberg was involved. Let's go to him.
I'm so fascinated by people taking this away from him in all these different ways. Like he has this thing that he created that people are obsessed with, but they're so critical of him and all of his choices. But it was his idea.
It might be just the tinkering. I think it's really expensive to redo all of the stuff that he keeps redoing.
But even, like, the fans, like, want to go against him. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so fascinating. Like, I kind of assumed everyone would love him.
There was a backlash, and then now there's a backlash to the backlash where now people are like, Lucas is great. He gave us Star Wars. Yeah. And so that's kind of progressed because of... And I think it's just generational dissatisfaction of, like, people grew up with the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. Then those people came of age and saw the prequel trilogy. It was like, this isn't the Star Wars I remember. Well, now the people who saw the prequel trilogy have grown up and they're watching the new trilogy. Mm-hmm. And they're being like, the J.J. Abrams trilogy. They're like, this isn't the Star Wars I remember. So it's just like some weird nostalgia thing that's making you have... You know, so of course it's not going to be this thing you loved when you were 12 years old. Mm-hmm, you know, it's just not going to hit you in the same way. I think from what I understand of the production that George Lucas independently financed this and he had a lot of creative control.
Wow.
That he basically put up the money for the most part himself. It's technically, I think, the most expensive independent film of all time.
I think I could be wrong on that. And the last one as well.
Yeah. And so. But I believe, I could be wrong, I don't know how much of it came from the studio or how much of it came from George Lucas just being like, I don't want to direct this because I feel like these movies work well when someone else directs it, which he's right about.
And then they were like, no, you do it. And he was like, okay. Yeah.
Fun fact, Ewan McGregor made lightsaber noises as he dueled.
That is a fun fact.
That's funny.
It's so funny that George, as a director, would go, we'll do it in post.
Why did the lightsabers look like futuristic? This bothered me because then in episode 4, they're like fatter. And I just didn't like that it was like these are sleeker now and then they'll get worse when they get older or something.
Darth Maul, he's the one who's like really into face paint.
Yeah.
So Darth Maul's lightsaber was two.
He's got a double saber.
But I was like, how does he have a double one? But we didn't see that later.
So this is another thing that trips up the whole prequel versus, you know, the original trilogy, the OT, is that, just stuff looks better. Mm-hmm. It looks cooler. And then just like the fighting is like, oh, well, so they were super good at fighting in episode 1. And then you watch the episode 4, the Star Wars like lightsaber fight between Darth Vader and Obi-Wan, old Obi-Wan. It just looks like shit.
Yeah,
it's just like these two old guys like.
Going, oh, it's so slow. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Darth Maul, pretty badass looking until he hops on a scooter. His vehicle of choice was a scooter. I was like, no, thank you.
Who plays Darth Maul?
Darth Maul is Ray Park is the actor who the physical actor, and then he was voiced by Peter Serafinowicz.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Who I think was later banned from Star Wars because he shit-talked the movie.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
That's fun.
Okay, so we'll erase the first few episodes if we want to try to get into a later movie.
No, but then they'll
hear how much we grew to love it.
And honestly, I loved Jar Jar, so that should give me some sort of point.
Yeah, you really got to get
everyone
a lot.
Everyone hates Jar Jar. I thought he was just so fun and funny.
I thought he was really annoying, but
the
voice
isn't great.
Well, and I remember from that time, I guess I was like 14 when this came out. I remember people going crazy, being upset about Jar Jar. Yes. Yeah. And it was like a joke. So I could ironically joke about Jar Jar at that time in my life. That was like a funny thing to do. But like, so I remember that being like such a, it was like such a part of my experience that I came into this hating Jar Jar. So I was like, oh, great. There he is. He's so annoying. Like, I, first second.
See, I knew Jar Jar, that people didn't like Jar Jar, and I knew what Jar Jar looked like. But then watching the first three movies, I thought Jar Jar was going to be a Boba Fett thing, where people talked about Boba Fett, but he's not really in the movies.
I kind of did expect it to be a smaller role.
But then I was delighted at how much Jar Jar was in. Man, I like Jar Jar.
But there are points in this movie that just look like a bad video game. Yes. Like, where there's like, I feel like Jar Jar standing around with a other, I can't remember where it was.
Most of Jar Jar's interactions look insane.
Yeah. And it, then it looks like Liam Neeson and Ewan McGregor just like walked into some weird like computer game you only get at school.
Yeah. like Math Blaster or something.
I don't even know what this is, but I'll play
this weird typing tutor I gotta play. Yeah, it's well, what did you think of the, while we're talking about characters and a lot of the criticism of Jar Jar Binks was like the people thought he was a stereotype in alien form. Also criticism of the Trade Federation.
Wait, people thought he was an alien stereotype? People,
no, like, what, like a racial stereotype?
Yes, there was, but there was a lot of, like so the Trade Federation and then also the Watto, the bug creature who has Anakin as his slave, were that's anti-Semitic, the Rune Hako and Newt Gunray, the Trade Federation, those guys are, like, kind of talking and they're kind of like made them Asian aliens.
Yes.
And people were like kind of upset about a lot of those elements.
I thought that was strange.
Yeah.
Especially because it's not a feature of any of the previous movies where like nothing is familiar in any way with these alien characters.
Agreed.
You're not like Chewbacca is Hungarian. Right. Like it's not like a direct one-to-one parallel. But here you've got like this, you've got like this greedy slave owner who's like only cares about money and then kind of I don't know. He is like a Jewish bug. That's like kind of the way it's, I feel like he's been.
That went right over my dang head.
Yeah. And
I'm worried about it with Jar Jar, but I was like,
Yeah.
Also, Boss Nass, he was a strange character for me. He spoke so strangely and I was like, what is your point?
I kind of like Boss Nass, but I never really understood why he looks so different from the other Gungans.
He looks like he's from Dinosaurs.
He does. The daddy from Dinosaurs. Yeah.
Looks like Sinclair.
Mm-hmm. I'm really actually looking at this Yoda picture. I'm really relieved that it was a puppet because I feel like that would have been such a bold move to make him fully CGI.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah, I'm so surprised that it didn't look right and that the puppeteer was mad too. I don't know. It's interesting.
Did either of you see the trailer in like 1997, 1998 when this movie was being hyped? Do you remember seeing that?
I don't remember it.
So this is, if any, like, and I think part of why I like this movie now is as much as nostalgia for the film is nostalgia for the trailer experience, which was just seeing it within, if you rewatch it, it might be interesting to just check it out and see what you think, because it got people so unbelievably hyped and it is a really well-cut trailer.
Oh.
But there's a few moments that you hit in the movie that are clear trailer moments. Like Anakin Skywalker meet Obi-Wan Kenobi, where people are just like yeah, and the same sort of thing. Like when Yoda first appears, I almost just called him Yoga. when Yoda first appears, that's in Spaceballs too. It's Yoga. I'm trying to think about. Oh, when you see C-3PO and he's partly built, like you see always like, who is this brave droid? That's R2-D2. Mm-hmm. Like, there's all these moments that are just basically fan service.
Right. That was pretty funny for me when they were like, what's this droid? And they were like, R2-D2. And I was like, there you go. There's R2-D2.
I know, it's kind of cute. It's kind of funny.
We have to take a break.
We'll be back with more Star Wars right after this short break.
Remember in 2018 when Border Control separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents and deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not been reunified. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you'd see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that families belong together, join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity to donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. altrolado.org/volunteer.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30, and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people, and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
And we're back.
I love this review from the Rolling Stone. The actors are wallpaper. The jokes are juvenile. There's no romance. And the dialogue lands with the thud of a computer instruction manual.
Mm. Wow. I mean, I did think most of the performances were a little flat.
Yeah. And I mean, I kind of agree about the romance, even though I wasn't thinking about it in the moment. But it was keeping me going with a lot of the other movies that there was this will they, won't they, or what's going to happen here. Even though it's always just like a kiss. Mm-hmm. But like there was no nothing that I could really like look to as like a
Just rooting for this little boy to like figure out how to become a Jedi.
Yeah,
I
liked the conversations between Natalie Portman and the little boy.
I gotta say,
I
was just gonna say, if you're looking for romance, I'm interested in your take on episode 2. That's all I'll say. Oh,
they gonna be fucking
I hope they fuck weird.
Is Natalie Portman Luke's mom?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She's older than
like,
Anakin.
I think her character is meant to be like 19 or 20.
Wait, walk me through her being the mom.
I feel like I should just let you watch it. Okay. Because
she's in the next one.
Yeah, you just asked a question and that was a spoiler.
Oh, okay. But, no, because we did hear that she was
okay. Yeah.
Like vaguely knew. But then watching the movie was a little bothered by this huge age gap.
It is jarring.
Right, because she fucks him.
Yes.
And it is a thing to think, like, you are like, why did Lucas feel the need to establish this? Why did he feel like I want to show this element of they met when he was a young boy and
that's
later
honestly
on they're going to be fucking?
So weird.
Yeah, I don't love it. I wish she was a child as well.
But think about if that little boy saw that he was going to look like that when he died. He's like, my head becomes purple. I'm in the back of its bubblegum.
Anakin's mom is one of the saddest characters, I think, in cinematic history.
Dude,
Shmi Skywalker.
She's depressing.
Yeah.
They did her no favors.
No.
They're like, no makeup for her. She's fine.
Yeah.
I thought that was
makeup.
Rude. I think some
We're
of the men look better in this movie than she did. And she's like a pretty woman. It was just not right. And
her life just sucks, too.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
just
her life's
like
depressing.
She's a slave on the sand planet. Also, I really love, speaking of sand, when Anakin was like, the sandstorms are so dangerous. And then they're walking through the sandstorm, essentially, that's starting and nobody's struggling. Not one person struggles.
That whole sandstorm sequence is like kind of indicative of the overall clunkiness of the movie. Because there's like a scene where it's just Obi-Wan is just like, looks like there's a sandstorm coming in. Then Captain Binaca just replies, it seems bad. Like, it's just like, there's no, you can just show the sandstorm rolling and you don't need this clunky dialogue.
I wonder where they filmed this one. I'm going to Google.
I assume they filmed a lot of the desert stuff in Tunisia. I feel like that's where they've normally done
Tunisia.
That.
Tunisia.
London, they usually is a filming location for these.
Oh, Italy and the UK and Tunisia.
So one thing that I think is, it for me, and just creatively talking about this movie as a prequel, I love the planet of Naboo. I think it's really cool. I like that they've got these underwater cities and they've also got like this lush greenery. Like each of the environments is just so distinct. But I think there is something to, because they blow up Alderaan in episode 4. There's kind of almost a case of like, well, why isn't this story set on Alderaan? Why isn't this set on this planet so we can kind of see the before here?
Alderaan is the place that Princess Leia was like, that planet.
Yeah, they have no weapons.
Yes.
No, don't do it. And then Peter Cushing, Grand Moff Tarkin's character, blows it up with a Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the planet. Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of like, I don't know, inventing this whole other world, but then also like we're seeing all our old friends are back. It's an interesting way to handle it.
And then also, Anakin leaves the sand place where he's a moisture farmer to become a Jedi, but then returns right back to the moisture place?
He'll get back there eventually, yeah.
And then his uncle and his aunt, who are they? Where did they come from?
They died.
They died in episode one.
Four.
So where does his mom go?
A lot of this you'll see in episodes 2 and 3. So I think that arc will be answered. I'm trying to think. Oh, did you like, because we talked about Darth Maul and everything. I think the thing, if even just like as far as scenes in isolation, and part of why I really like this movie, I think that whole last battle sequence is super fun. That whole third act where they've got like these three different, again, like Return of the Jedi, we've got three different set pieces that are going on at once on three different battles. And you've got the Gungans outside fighting the droids. You've got the, you know, the palace insurrection, and then you've got the lightsaber battle, which I think is the best lightsaber battle in the entire series.
That was the coolest one.
Yeah. There was flips.
It's so awesome.
It was very physical. I just, the whole shield thing was confusing to me as to like why Ewan McGregor couldn't get to the fight.
Sure.
What were those shields? Just
force
an
fields.
Obstacle?
Yeah, just, I don't know. Okay. Yeah, just a random plot device.
Force fields.
A plot device.
No, that's one of those things where it's just like some weird sci-fi gobbledygook that's thrown in there to, you know, whatever, make the story play out the way he wants to. But yeah, it doesn't really have a, it would be useful if you, it would be better if you saw that it had some sort of purpose established. But yeah, that whole fight sequence is awesome. And I think Darth Maul's death is rad.
I did enjoy it. He gets split the fuck.
Yeah,
that was really fun. And his legs fell off.
Yeah.
It's great.
And we got to see his two pieces fall down.
It was very
enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
In the director's cut, Obi-Wan says, "Say goodbye to your dick."
He's like, "What?"
Oh, no! When Obi-Wan is looking at
Qui-Gon Jinn.
When he's looking at his lightsaber,
yes,
he does it twice. And at that point, I was like, well, Darth Maul, you're bad at this.
Yeah.
Why aren't you following where his eyes are going? You should have anticipated that he's going to pick up that lightsaber. That really bothered me.
There's a lot of editing choices like that where it's just like this shot is lingering for an extra beat. Someone delivered their line of dialogue. You cut to Shmi Skywalker. You hold on her for a full second. And then she says, "Anakin." You hold on her for another second. And then you cut away. It just feels like paced very odd. And that's the sort of thing. Yeah, we could have just seen it once.
I want to know about your relationship with these movies growing up.
So,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we had, you know, the original trilogy on VHS. I don't remember. In fact, I would not have seen any of the original trilogy in theaters. But I just grew up with them and I watched them obsessively. And even, you know, as a kid, then some time passed. And then as a teenager came back to them, I was like, these movies still are awesome, and watched them over and over again. They kept re-releasing new editions of the movies on VHS. And so I'd buy those. And then they had a special edition, which I would have been the version that you watched, would have been the cut that, the cut that you watched. That was re-released into theaters, and that was the first time I saw Star Wars in the theaters, and I was so, so hyped for that.
Oh, that must have been neat.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was put in theaters with that.
That is cool.
The changes, yeah. I mean, even though we kind of were critical of a lot of those. But
the changes are completely unnecessary. Yeah. The special edition, I think, is really pretty dumb. They didn't
It would
need
have been cool just to put it in theaters again as like an anniversary thing or something.
Yeah, just remaster it. Yeah. Just make it look a little
prettier,
sharper.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, adding extra sequences and then just changing things arbitrarily. Not arbitrarily, but just changing things. It makes those movies worse. But I was beyond hyped for the prequel trilogy, as I mentioned earlier. And, I think that my fandom started to tail off a little bit as I was very disappointed with these prequels initially. But as time passed, I've grown to appreciate them as oh, you know what? It's just more Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And I like Star Wars. And like, if you like Marvel, there are Marvel movies that are not as good as other Marvel movies, but you're always happy to see more of them. And just approaching it from that standpoint, it's just like, I like every Star Wars movie to some degree, to some more than others.
And did you have like toys and memorabilia?
Were you part of the merchandising? Yeah. Because we keep hearing that's like a huge thing.
Yeah. So my brother is older than me, 4.5 years older than me. And so he was the guy with the big Star Wars toy collection. But we had a lot of shit. And we had a bunch of the Kenner action figures. We had AT-STs and AT-ATs, the big mechanical walkers. I had an X-Wing. Didn't have a Death Star. In fact, I'm not sure if they made a Death Star toy. It would have been absurdly big. But we had a bunch of...
Wait, they didn't make a Death Star toy?
Yeah. I guess if you're doing it like relative to the other toys, like it would have to be like as big as a room,
right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not, but they probably did make one. But then we had play sets. We had like the Ewok like village play set.
Yay,
and shit.
We like the Ewoks.
They're gonna buy that on eBay.
I love the Ewoks, and I know we're not talking Episode 6 here, we're not talking Return of the Jedi, but people are like, that was the first thing that people
was
were like
favorite.
Yeah, Ewoks are great, but that was the first thing where people were like skeptical about Star Wars. All we're like, Star Wars sucks now, the Ewoks are stupid, and that was the narrative for a long time before the prequels came out. But the Ewoks are fucking, they're great.
They're incredible.
They're so wonderful. They're cuddly. I love them. And guys, Jar Jar, just enjoy. Like, I just.
You are a Jar Jar
apologist. I sure am. I love Jar Jar. Like, in the fight where he almost falls down, that made me laugh. I just, when he Anakin was like, don't touch a fucking light thing, it'll make you numb, and then his head hits it, and then he's like, that made me laugh.
Yeah,
like,
that is goofy. Funny.
It's stupid.
Oh my God, I just found the Ewok treehouse toy on eBay for $500.
How much is it? Oh my God.
Wow.
But I'd play with that.
Get it. You gotta get it.
Boy, we shouldn't have put all that stuff on it.
Oh my God.
We shouldn't have given all that to Goodwill.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, keep that shit.
Dude, these are cute. The toys are so good. 500 is like not cool. Is this what it is to be a Star Wars fan?
Yeah, you spent a lot of money.
Here's one for 100.
Oh, there you go. That one's probably all played with.
I know, it's all sticky.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm expecting that to be, but.
C-3PO.
Yes.
He gets gold, I assume, in the second one?
Yeah, it's yes, he you see his transition into being like a fully built robot. I will say that this is another thing that I think is just like dumb about the movie, is that there's no reason you can put C-3PO in it. It doesn't have to be Anakin building him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see what that adds. That's to me is just like, it's just a dumb bit of lore slash it's misguided attempt at fan service.
Well, I thought it was to justify why he's so loyal to Luke, because the loyalty was hereditary, if you will, from Anakin to Luke.
Right.
That was my thought.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Maybe not.
That's giving it a lot of credit, I feel like.
I think so, yeah. I think you're doing some work for the movie.
Me just sitting on my couch being like, no, this has to make sense.
They put this it for a reason.
Everything's here for a reason.
There was
force.
Also a female C-3PO lady.
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning. Not C-3PO, I guess. Were they all C something? Are they called C... 2123?
No, I think she... Well, I don't remember what her number is. And but I think... People are just screaming in the Twitter mentions right now. It's TC14 or whatever.
Yeah. We can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the comments for this are going to be delight to read.
I can't wait. I cannot wait
for
people to really attack me for liking Jar Jar. He's so fun.
Can someone do fan art of Nicole riding Jar Jar Binks?
Please.
Even though that's not a thing that he does.
I think the we're talking about toys, and the other element of Star Wars fandom beyond the movies is video games. Mm-hmm. And Star Wars has some awesome video games, and one of the best ones came from this movie. And is even for people who don't like Episode One, they consider it a redeeming factor. There's an Episode One pod racing video game that is so fun for Nintendo 64 and PC.
It reminded me of Mario Kart.
Yeah. It is like Mario Kart. Yeah,
it did look like a Mario World too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fun. I mean, yeah, I actually didn't mind the racing scene.
Mm-hmm. It was long.
It was long, and I felt like it went on way too long. And again, the CGI elements were so silly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what I didn't really get. Like, I think in the previous movies, it felt like the humor was mostly with, like, there was humor for sure. But I liked how a lot of it was, like, between the actors.
Yeah.
There were some jokes with, like, some of the alien characters. Yeah. But this felt like they were leaning on it a lot for like the CGI to be like the funny part.
It felt like the CGI was like a secondary character as opposed to a tool to make something more believable.
Yeah.
I think people would have liked Jar Jar. I won't stop talking about Jar Jar. I think people would have liked Jar Jar if Jar Jar was in a costume.
I actually think so too. Mm. I think that would have been more likable.
Yes.
It's also just more real. It's not just there's something about CGI where like you can do whatever you want to it as the creator. Mm-hmm. So if you make it annoying, it's like you're going out of your way
to
do all of these things that make this character annoying. Whereas if it was just a guy in a suit, we'd be like, hey, that's all they could work with.
This is fun. Honestly, you'd probably leave being like, this is a great physical actor.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he did all of that, but then you just put a sticker on it and it felt weird.
Right.
I like characterizing a 3D CG model as a sticker. But it's true. But it was everything you're saying, it is true. And also, but this movie is the template and the especially the sequel or the other prequels is a template for how movies ended up being made in the 21st century.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
oh, wow.
All these, you know, look at the Hulk or all the CG created characters, all of the ones that exist in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. It's all like basically derived from the prequels of like, we'll get these actors, we'll shoot them on blue or green screen.
This was like the first
big one with a big CG character.
Oh,
so
that's actually really interesting.
It is interesting.
interesting. Because I do think as an audience member, you would be more excited about that since you haven't seen that over.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This felt more like in the Marvel universe to me where I was like, yeah, I get it. Like, yeah. It's easier to write off characters and stuff.
But that's another thing that Ahmed Best kind of like gets overlooked where everyone talks about like Andy Serkis's Golem was like, he was like, you know, this amazing motion capture actor is like, well, Ahmed Best did it first. You just didn't like the character, you know?
That's not fair.
Yeah.
Also,
I can't believe Andy Serkis is who he is because I actually know him more from 13 Going on 30, which is so weird. He just plays like a character in it.
Wow.
He's just in that. But then I'm like, he can be all of those physical.
Yes, yeah. Right.
I mean, I
it's
can't.
It's talent. It's a real talent.
Oh, he's amazing.
I can barely sit straight. It's tough right now. I just want to lay down. Also, why didn't they test Jar Jar's voice? I'm sure if they had a focus group, every single person would have been like, you got to do something about that.
I feel like they can never trust anyone to keep it a secret if they tested something with this movie. Like, don't you think people would just immediately tell everyone?
Yeah. But there is, you just lie. You animate a little short or something to show it to people. You're like, do you like this voice?
Yeah.
No. Excuse me. Bad.
Yeah.
It really makes me upset.
Would you like it more if it was part of the Star Wars canon?
Yeah.
No.
Gotta say, Samuel L. Jackson... I feel like you don't hire Samuel L. Jackson just to, like, sit.
Underused.
And softly say lines.
Yes.
So my understanding is that Samuel L. Jackson reached out to George Lucas and was like, I want to be in a Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
And so that's he kind of, like, got cast in this character as Mace Windu, who's one of the best characters in the prequels, ultimately. But he got cast as Mace Windu, I think, to serve this sort of functionary role because that was just, you know, there wasn't really a space for him. But he could have been Qui-Gon Jinn. You know, why not?
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely. You know? That would have been
fucking
great,
cool.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. I only know the name Mace Windu because my friend's child, like, years ago, would be like, Mace Windu. And that's the only way I've ever heard it. So whenever I hear it, I think of that.
I've
that
never rolls. Heard it before.
I wanted to say there was a rumor that Tupac wanted to be or expressed interest in reading for a role. But his murder in September 1996 prevented any such meeting from taking place.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
He would have been a great Anakin.
He was a Star Wars fan since childhood. I think that's very sweet.
Would have been a great Anakin. I would have loved to have seen Tupac as Anakin.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He's 30. I mean, how old was he when he passed? I don't know.
But I think part of why this movie, and you talked about it being focus tested, and you know, obviously that was an issue with people were worried about leaking. But I think also George Lucas in the late 1990s, was considered like this genius, this infallible sort of artistic guy. And so I think people were, I think he just was surrounded by people who were not willing to or not able to say like, hey, maybe don't do this, you know? And that's why there's a lot of weird choices in this film.
That's what's so tricky about people like that. Like once you get to a position where you've created something and then everyone just kind of is afraid to mess with it. Because then... There are things that, like, I just feel like it was kind of universally agreed for the most part. A lot of the criticisms most fans would agree with. So then the people making it probably thought that too, where they're like, oh man, this is not
for sure.
Yeah, that's hard.
But, like, you know, there's thing, and by the way, I realized the word I was looking for was auteur, but I landed on artistic guy. That's just me in my head. There's things like the vehicle design in this movie. I think, like, a lot of the ships look awesome. That, totally reflective ship that the Jedi use is really cool. The droid station that's orbiting the planet, I think, just has a cool design to it. A lot of the alien creatures, like, look cool. Like, there's, like, just, again, like the Roger Ebert thing, there's just all these, like, visual nuggets, just like, oh, that's a fun thing to look at.
Fun, yeah. It's visually delicious is what I was saying to myself at 1 a.m. as I watched it. I was like, ooh, this is visually delicious. And I was like, I have to go to sleep.
Yeah. But I mean, I think because we're so familiar with this kind of filmmaking now, it felt really easy to watch passively for me because I was like, oh, yeah, I actively don't watch movies that look like this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to like really focus to try to get the plot. Whereas with the earlier ones, I feel like even though I might have been bored at times, it was more clear what was happening.
The plot was so much more simpler than in this movie.
Yeah.
Also, Anakin like saves the day, but like by mistake.
Yeah.
And oh, like, yeah.
It would have. I think a better choice would have been like for the Force to help him save the day. To showcase that he is powerful, as opposed to like, oh, zoops, oh, wow, I flicked something, oh, zoom, gotta get out of here. And then they cut to the other people being like, I don't know who's doing that.
He was so cute, that little kid. I can't believe that people were so mean to a child. I guess I can.
But I get it. I get it. Imagine going to school with the kid who's got the role that you would kill your mother for.
Yeah.
Like, you were just, you love these movies so much. Of course you're going to be so nasty to this kid.
Oh, so it was his, it was children.
I think
who
it
were
was
mean.
Children. Yeah. I don't think adults were mean to his face.
I guess it said peer bullying. Yeah.
But also, I guess that continued on into college because I remember reading, like, he'd go to parties and stuff and people would, like, give him shit and tell him that his movie sucked.
That's so unfair. That's so stupid.
People are awful.
Everyone's
so
jealous.
Yes, yeah, so jealous.
That's just all it is. Like, right. Well, I was a child. I don't know. It happened to me.
Is this his only acting role? I forgot to look that up.
It said he retired after this.
Dang.
Oh, but maybe just he retired from acting. He doesn't say it right after this.
Yeah.
I'll look at his IMDb.
In addition to how great it looks, I mean, the sound in this movie, both the John Williams score, but then also just the sound design is so good. Like, there's so many awesome just sound effects. The pod racing sequence where they drop out the score entirely. Mm-hmm. Just every, like, the hum of the pod racers and everything. It really sits in well. And I feel like just like the world building beyond just like the visual, like just like the distinct sound of every element is really sticks with you.
Yeah, he stopped acting after this. He was in stuff around that time, but then he just did he was just a production assistant on a short. So
he came back in.
Maybe he's doing it from the other angle.
Yeah.
Maybe that's better.
What is Darth Maul is a Sith? Wait, what are they?
Yes. The evil Jedi are the Sith.
And then somebody was like, Yoda says when there's one, there's two.
Yes.
So that is Palpable Boop. Wait, what's his name? Senator Palpatine? Is he he's the second one?
Yeah, this is another clunky thing about the movie is that there's no mystery about who the Phantom Menace is. It's just like you see this guy with the hood.
Yeah,
it's Darth Sidious. And it's just like, that's just Senator Palpatine who's trying to be good over here. Like, I immediately connect them.
Yeah.
And I also know that because I've seen the Emperor in the previous movie and it's the same actor. So I'm just not sure why the story needs to be told ultimately.
But I did think it was neat that it was the same actor.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like any chance they could do any chance they had to do that.
He's good. Ian McDiarmid, I think, is his name. I like that guy.
Yeah,
so,
that was cool.
Lauren, overall, you seem indifferent.
I don't really care for this one. This one, can I rank them in order as of my favorites as of now?
Ooh, I like
it. Okay. Right now it's Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, New Hope, and then Phantom Menace.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that normal?
Maybe.
That's pretty, I think usually the most people put Empire first.
Yeah.
But Return of the Jedi first is pretty common as well.
Okay.
Return of the Jedi, Phantom Menace, Emperor Strikes Back, or Empire?
Empire.
Yeah.
It's good. We're learning.
Empire Strikes Back. And then A New Hope is not even on my list.
Wow.
So, I honestly
would watch A New Hope. And by the way, hated it.
You
would
watch A New Hope
before I would watch this again.
Wow.
I'm going to go home and watch Jar Jar until I die. I liked it.
By the way, I don't want to watch either one again, but I just, that's what would happen if I had to, if someone was holding a knife to my leg.
Tame as possible. Honestly, if someone held a knife to my leg and was like, watch this again, I'd be like, cut it.
Yeah.
Just a little slice, cut me.
Speaking as a Star Wars fan who knows Star Wars fans, Nicole, you saying you like Jar Jar and then ranking the Phantom Menace above Empire Strikes Back, it's like you're begging to be doxed.
This is the best thing I've ever heard. Yeah. I'm obsessed.
It's great.
I don't know what people's problems were. I did not think the story, any part of it was necessary to the three movies I've seen. But I thought it was a fun romp, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was saying earlier before we started recording, I was like, this movie could have ended so many times. It was very long and a lot of epic things would happen. And you'd be like, oh, cool. So this should be wrapping up. And then you'd pause it and go, there's an hour and 20 minutes left. Okay, well, let's get in. Oh, well, it's not going to end. Yeah, it was long, but
it's too long.
I liked it.
It's too long. And there was a thing, I know we're wrapping up here, but Topher Grace at one point recut the movie. I think it's called The Phantom Edit.
We should try to get him on here because I know him.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, let's do that.
He put it all together how he thought it should be, right?
And this movie's like 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I think he got it down to around 90. And if you look at it, just like there's so many scenes you could just lift out of here.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but apparently it's well done. I will say that I love this movie. I love all the Star Warses. This is probably my least favorite of the mainline Star Warses. So I would put this at the bottom. It's either this or Episode 7 is kind of competing for the bottom slot.
Okay. Okay. How would you rank the first three?
The first three, I go 5, 6, 4. So Empire, Jedi, and then Star Wars.
You're a classic guy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this is really exciting for us. I mean, okay, what's the next one called?
Everybody get in here. Are we about to start the wars again? I honestly have no idea.
I think it's called Darth Takes a Break. What
Darth
is it,
needs
what
a
is it called?
Napsies.
The next one is Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Ah, okay.
Oh, is this where we see the Clone War?
Maybe.
I think we're going to see a Clone War.
We might see it.
But I've been warned that the Clone War is not as interesting as I think it's going to be. Mm.
Yes, we were told that.
Yes.
I can't remember.
But then I think Gemberling said, or maybe it was Gabrus who said that we might not like the pod chasing.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I liked it.
That was fun.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine.
Episode 2, I will just say, I think is the most distinct of all of the mainline Star Wars. It's
and
like
which one is the most hated out of these? This trilogy?
I think this first one.
Okay.
I think this,
Oh, so people might like
this one or one or two.
Okay, so the next one is going to be possibly bad in our opinion, but you might love it.
Sometimes I really wonder if I have bad taste, and I think it's being confirmed right now.
I don't think there's such a thing as that.
No,
it's just different.
I can't believe people hated this movie so much.
I know.
But also, I'm delighted in insane things. Like when Darth Maul got on that scooter, I squealed.
Yeah, but if you actually cared, you would have been like, no.
It's like, why is he on a Vespa?
Yeah, I could imagine being upset about that. Well, Nick, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
You know, you mentioned my podcast, Doughboys, me and Mike Mitchell, and How Did This Get Played with me and Heather Ann Campbell. First one covers chain restaurants. Second one covers bad video games. Check them out.
And both are really great. And what is your Instagram and Twitter?
I'm just at Nick Weiger on whatever social media platform you use.
Well, great. Thank you so much for being here. Everyone can please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Of course, if you like how we're talking about this, please rate and review us.
And honestly, when you criticize me for loving this movie, please be kind. And then, like, I'm open to constructive criticisms as to why my opinions are wrong.
Oh, yeah, we're open to constructive criticism.
Just be kind.
Go crazy.
You don't have to call me a name.
Right, we don't need name calling.
Yeah.
We're prepared. And by the way, none of these have come out yet. We're just anticipating all of them.
I mean, you're right.
When we started from the jump, we're like, the people are going to be very
mean.
They're
going to be mad. The people will be mad. Okay, and where can we follow you online?
Oh, at Nicole Byer on Twitter and Instagram.
And you have a book coming out that people can pre-order.
Wow. You can pre-order it. The links are, it's a link in my bio. It's a very long name that I can't remember right now, but it's a how-to guide on how to be brave as a fat lady. It's tongue-in-cheek. It's some people have taken it literally.
Oh my God, it looks amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing pictures of you.
Thank you. Me in a bikini.
By Kim New Money, who's a great photographer.
Yes, she's wonderful. And Lauren, where can people find you? And what do you have going on?
You can find me at Lauren Lapkus on Twitter and Instagram. I just started a Patreon.
I saw.
So follow my Patreon. I'm going to be doing my own stuff that I
and
just change up from. We took
it.
My short film. You can watch there. I directed it, and it's all improvised by really hilarious people that you might know from other podcasts and stuff. So go check it out, and it's all under my name on Patreon, and I hope you find it and follow me. All right. Well, we love you guys.
Yes.
We love Star Wars. It's our favorite thing, so thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.